Well, now, another remarkable feat happened 60 years ago, and to tell us a little bit about it is Peter Irwood, the President of the Space Association of Australia. Welcome to the Space Show, Peter.
Thanks, Andrew. It's good to be back, and that's great. Fantastic. Yeah, it's good to be back. I haven't been here for a while with all the COVID restrictions, but yes, so 60 years ago, Yuri Gagarin was the first human to orbit the Earth, and it caused quite a shock around the world, and set in play a lot of events to follow, including really the launch of the space race or the acceleration of the space race, such as resulted in the Apollo program and the race to land the first human on the moon. So, yes, it was a remarkable time.
And Yuri Gagarin's flight on Vostok 1, it was preceded by a number of Vostoks. They weren't called it that at the time. And they were, let's say, dogs. They put dogs up instead of humans. And the idea was that they'd test the thing out. And on March the 9th, 1961, a dog called Shunushka was brought back to Earth. And then on March 25th, just a few days ago, 60 years ago, Zvezdoshka was brought back. So having proven that, it was time for Yuri Gagarin. What date did he go up?
It was April the 12th.
Okay.
In 1961. Quite a long time ago. So in order to celebrate that, as well as a few other things, we've sort of combined an event and created an event which we're going to have here in Melbourne on April the 12th, that's Sunday, April 11th, that's Sunday, April the 11th. It's going to be an afternoon-evening event at the Sun Theatre in Yarraville, and maybe a few listeners had been along to our Apollo 11 50th anniversary back in 2019. Good, it seems just like yesterday. So it'll be a great afternoon. We're going to have two amazing films to show, one being Apollo 11, which was a film released in 2019, which went back to the original 70mm high-definition films, which were filmed back in 1969 and put together, because basically what happened is they filmed it in 70mm, but all of NASA produced reduced resolution versions of that in 16mm and gave that out to all the media. So all the films and the stuff that you've seen over the last 50 years virtually has all been in 16mm footage. But they took the initiative to go back to the original archived 70mm film and then digitise that. So this film is phenomenal. It looks like it was filmed last week. It's so crystal clear and sharp of these events that happened in 1969. We did show it as part of the Moon Film Festival at the Sun Theatre back in July of 2019. But the film didn't get a broad cinematic release. So this would be one of the few opportunities anyone has to see this film on the big screen here in Melbourne. So I'd strongly urge anyone with a passing interest or even a strong interest in space to come along and see that at our event on the April the 12th. The event's called actually Gagarin and Beyond. So what we're doing, we're doing a small presentation on the flight of Yuri Gagarin and talking about his events and what he did and how the mission progressed. And then we're going to move forward through to Apollo 11. And as part of that also, we're going to be talking about the important role that Australia took and still takes with the NASA space program, particularly in the tracking and communications area, which took place for Apollo program, and then which was adapted for the Skylab program, Skylab being the American space station, which was put up in 1973. And we're going to have a rarely seen documentary film called Searching for Skylab, America's Forgotten Triumph, which was once again produced in 2019, specifically about the Skylab station, which many people sort of passed unnoticed, or it doesn't really spring to mind when you think about the history of space, but it made some important contributions and it had quite an important impact on space science and humans in space. It also ended up landing in Australia, or part of it thereof, anyway. So, what they did is this Searching for Skylab film, they went back to, once again, the NASA archives and retrieved a lot of film that was produced at the time but not really widely seen by anybody. So they put that together, including interviews with surviving astronauts and some of the spouses of the ones astronauts that have passed, and told the story of Skylab. So we think it's going to be a wonderful afternoon. It's going to kick off at around, what time does it start? About, it starts at 4 o'clock. And the presentations, the Yuri Gagarin presentation, the Apollo 11 film, the Apollo and Skylab presentation, the screening of Searching for Skylab, and then at the end of it, at around about 9:30, we're going to have an exclusive interview with Joseph Kerwin. Joe Kerwin was an NASA astronaut who flew on Skylab 2. Skylab 1 was the launch of the station itself, which was unmanned, and Skylab 2 was the first manned flight. He flew up with Paul White and Pete Conrad, who actually walked on the moon. And interesting, I heard Pete Conrad say at one stage that he felt the Skylab was a much more important and significant event in his life, and he felt so proud of Skylab and the role that he did, because the whole story of Skylab, people may or may not know, is that it was damaged on the way up into Earth orbit insertion, and they essentially had to delay the launch of the crew in order to design some systems to be able to mitigate the problem of the lost insulation. The thing was cooking in orbit, and unless they got up there, put this sail up, released the solar panel, which was jammed because it wouldn't have enough power, and also would overheat. So Skylab 2, Joe and Pete and Paul managed to do that. So it was quite an incredible feat.
If you've ever seen the movie Apollo 13, and they had the problem with the carbon dioxide scrubber, and someone comes in and dumps a whole pile of stuff on the desk and says, this is what you've got to work with, and there's a feverish attempt to work at something out. Well, the stuff wasn't already in space, it was on the ground, but something similar happened, didn't it?
That's right. They had a very limited amount of time to work in, and also a very limited way in which they could do it. Fortunately, what they were able to do, there was a small little airlock which they managed to be able to use to put this contraption through and deploy it, and it actually worked quite well. So they did a really great job, and it's a good testament to, you know, having humans in space, being able to deal with the unexpected and unplanned. So this event on April 11, I think anyone who's interested in space would love it, and I think these films, along with the presentations, I think will be a real revelation and a most enjoyable afternoon for anyone. So if you want tickets, just go to the Sun Theatre website. That's suntheatre.com.au, and just search up Gagarin and you'll come to it. If you can't find it, go to the Space Association website. That's space.asn.au, and right on the front page there's a link to the event, and in that event there's a link to the booking tickets area. So,
If people only want to see one of the films, can they do that? Or is it?
No, it's a single ticket price.
Single ticket for the whole event, even if you don't stay for the whole event.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. There's two ticket options. There's one with just the films, and there's another one with a dinner box. So you can choose to have that ticket include a dinner box which has got a sandwich and fruit and muffins and things like that in it, and you can just sit in your seat and enjoy the whole afternoon. Or if you don't want to do that, there's going to be an interval, you can go out around the corner and go to a cafe or something and come back in. So either way is fine.
Yes, there are plenty of eating places in that immediate vicinity. That's within right. Within 50 metres.
Yeah. So the Sun Theatre is in Yarraville, just literally over the Westgate Bridge, turn right and you're there. It's a very easy place to get to. There's a train that pulls up right behind it, and so it's a pretty easy place to get to.
Yes, the Werribee line and the Williamstown line.
Okay.
Yep. And by the way, the Werribee line, you can get to it from Frankston. Yeah, the Frankston line goes straight through to Werribee. So, you can just hop on the train here in the Bayside suburbs and arrive at the theatre. Very comfy.
Mm. And just a total transparency, the interview we've got with Joe Kirwan is actually also with Dwight Stephen Bonecki, who's the director of this Searching for Skylar film. I recorded last week with both of them. Given the time zones between Joe is in Chicago and Dwight is in Germany, so in order to make it practical for everybody, we did pre-record it. So, but it's exclusive for us. So, and Joe talked about his time in Australia and things that he did. So it's a really, really fascinating interview and exclusive to this event.
Yes, Joe has quite a strong connection with Australia, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah. He spent some time out here as a NASA representative for a couple of years, yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you, Peter.
My pleasure.
And we'll look forward to that. It's on Sunday, April the 11th, starting at 4 p.m. and finishing, what, around about 10:30 or thereabouts?
About 10 o'clock it'll finish,
10 o'clock, about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Peter Arwood, President of the Space Association of Australia.